He's actually 2 minutes early. Is he coming?
Did you open?
Oh, I can hold it. It doesn't open in a second.
Ellen's coming.
Maybe it wasn't.
Oh, there's Ellen too. Well,
we're very efficient.
He had consent to proceed.
Get me back to the room.
Okay, you know what? I don't know.
Okay, so we've got the minutes taken care of and the call to order. So now that all the trivial things are behind us, we have the serious people, serious things. Sarah?
Good afternoon. This application is to install a historical marker to recognize the history of the Varian family and house at 322 to 324 East Broadway. Is it my phone?
Doesn't sound like it's on very well, but anyway.
Yeah, I think it's on.
Is that better?
Daniels.
There we go.
There we go.
There you go.
Can you hear me now? Okay. This is for historical marker at 322 to 324 East Broughton Street, and here's the map just indicating the location of the marker. The marker is proposed to be mounted on the facade of the building with two possible locations. The first option is facing Broughton Street, see located right here. And the second option is facing Haversham on the corner right here, and this is Broughton, so along here. The following standards apply, themes for markers and monuments. These standards are all met. The marker will include the themes of arts and humanities, civil and institutional, industry and commerce, military history, and local history. It focuses on the family's accomplishments and contributions to Savannah, as well as nationally. In terms of sites, all of these standards are met. Staff is recommending that location one, facing Broughton Street, be used due to the location on the main facade and the visibility of the marker on that facade. In terms of design, this is going to be installed by the Georgia Historical Society, so it'll be the standard size, design, and material that they use, and you can just see an image here. I'm sure you've seen these markers many times before. All of these are met, the standards are met, with the exception of the standard reading the marker title, or except the marker title, the marker text should not be more than 1 inch in height and not less than a half inch. We're just requesting that the size be specified because it was not. And just a note, the marker will be installed by Historic Preservation Consulting using masonry-appropriate fasteners, so it won't damage the building. In terms of text, you can see the text located here. If you'd like me to read it, let me know. Otherwise, I'll let you read that yourself. All of the text standards are met, except again, we're just requesting that the size for the donor names be specified. In terms of funding, the standards are met. The marker is located on private property and will be fully funded and maintained by the Georgia Historical Society. So staff is recommending approval of the proposed marker at 322 to 324 East Broughton Street with the condition that the text sizes are specified, because otherwise the marker meets the standards in the markers, monument, and public art master plan and guidelines for the city of Savannah. And staff is recommending the Broughton Street location because this is the primary facade of the building. And I can answer any questions you may have.
Sarah?
Yes.
In staff's experience, haven't we typically been given, like, don't we usually know what the text size is before it comes?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's overlooked occasionally, but the marker will be the same size and design as what they commonly do, so we weren't concerned about
it. So it's going to be the same size as the Historical Society's?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
There will be a difference in the size of the donor text?
It's supposed to, there's a size specified here, so it's smaller than the text, which they've done before.
The requirements.
Questions of staff? Go ahead.
May I ask a somewhat related question?
Sure.
Well, kind of. How is this project coming along? I mean, overall, I remember when we went through it on the historical people.
Well, we asked the petition.
Yeah, they've had more information.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's going.
No, I need to.
No, well, that's
come up. That's come up.
Okay. My name's David Kelly.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's go ahead and finish out with the staff, and then we'll bring in the petitioner if you don't mind.
I apologize.
Any more questions for our staff?
I have a question. It has nothing to do with the approval, but just I'm curious. Do you finish that? Put a finish on the mark and any graffiti finish on those markers?
I'm not sure how they finish them. I would ask the petitioner. They would be able to get the details.
Okay. All right. Well, then why don't we get to the petitioner and so we can ask whatever questions we need to ask. Thank you, sir.
Hello. My name is Elise Butler, and I'm the outreach coordinator at the Georgia Historical Society. As for the finish for the historical marker, it is a standard finish by the Foundry. It's the standard black with silver lettering that is similar to the Savannah Protest Movement historical marker located nearby at the Skagit Library.
I meant, was there a clear finish over it? Like I've seen some sort of anti-graffiti?
It's not that I'm aware of. It is washable. It's definitely washable. Graffiti does tend to come off if you use simple green.
Okay, that was my question.
May I ask a question? What was your preference in terms of location?
It would be Broughton Street because I believe it would be most visible from there.
So you don't have a quarrel with the staff recommendation?
No, not at all.
Okay. Any further? Okay, well, you have some other questions about how is the project coming?
Yes.
Well, I would turn it over to David Kelly so he could speak further about that.
David.
Hey guys, my name is David Kelly. I'm head of preservation at Marion House. I've been on the project for almost 10 years now. Things are actually moving along. We have gotten kind of recovered from finishing what we did on the outside, and had to do a little bit of work on the owner now owns the carriage house. We've had to do a little bit of work on that to stop some leaks. And I've been working on drawings for the inside. As y'all may be aware, we've had all kinds of discoveries on the inside of the wallpaper and some sort of national recognition. So we've been a little bit slow on that process. But as far as our plan is, hopefully we're gonna submit in the next few months for permits to finish the inside. So it will take from that point on, obviously, with the kind of woodwork and the kind of detail that we're talking about, the project will probably take another 2 years to finish. Clearly, the cost and the kind of level of finish that we're talking about is pretty epic. But the owner is very excited about going forward, and he's finally happy to have a chance to, do the kind of thing that he wants to do to make it right. So that's where we're at.
You said you found the wallpaper?
No, I don't know how aware y'all are of what we have discovered. When about a year and a half ago, Historic Savannah for the Davenport House was looking for a Savannah wallpaper to put in the foyer of the Davenport House. And they knew that Berrien had a bunch of historic wallpaper. So they came to us looking for a sample because they thought, oh, we'll reproduce it and put it in the Davenport House. And we said, of course, and I had all these samples, so I worked with Jamie Creedle over at Davenport House, and we sent the samples to a guy in New York State, Adelphi Paper Hangings, that is the one guy in the United States that reproduces wallpaper by hand. He took the paper, and when I sent him a sandwich. So I sent him a whole bunch of the papers, and then the one paper that we thought was the appropriate time period, 1820, for Davenport House, they found, which is now Berrien Trellis. But when that happened, the guy that was looking at the papers, he found another paper in there, and he said, I love this paper that's a little further back. It has a little flower on it. He just said, it's right around 1800, this paper that I'm looking at. And it just happens, he said on his own dime, he said, I want to reproduce that paper and make it part of my, you know, my portfolio, and I'll license it, you know, we'll license it through Barron, so it's now called Barron Sprigg. That paper, it just happened that the people at Mount Vernon were looking for a paper, and they looked on his site, and it matched their paper. So now in Mount Vernon, in the chintz room, is the Barron House Sprigg paper. Yeah. And I went up to Mount Vernon and met with all the people up there and had to give them a talk and tell them and show them all the papers, that were stuff we were working on. But it was very exciting. They were blown away. It was a neat kind of situation where it wouldn't have come about had it not been for Historic Savannah and their team, you know, being committed to reproducing a paper of the period. And it's a great story, to tell you the truth. And the story is even thicker in the sense that John Barron and George Washington just happened to be colleagues, and the fact that they fought at Valley Forge, and George Washington wrote his farewell address at Barron's house, his father's house in New Jersey. So the story gets thicker and thicker. So, but anyhow, we had to slow down when all that happened with the history and the documentation. Huh. I'm working with a lady out of Atlanta who works at Georgia State, and we're giving a talk in the spring. Decorative arts group out of Philadelphia is going to be here. We're going to give a talk for that, and we're planning on doing some publications. So we had to slow down with some of the research that, you know, to save the building, we had to do one thing. To do the research, we're sort of having to do a whole different thing. So
did J.D. Turner's collapse set you back a little?
It set all of us back. I think that's universal around town. So, yes, it did.
Was.
But I think that we're beyond that. We're going in a new direction. So, but the project is moving forward, and there's no stalling it at this point. We're excited. We're excited about the sign, and we're just, so you know, the Andrew, the owner, he really is happy to have the sign wherever it's best for everybody. He doesn't really have a stance one way or the other. We were just happy to get everybody involved, you know, and make sure everybody's happy with where the sign is. So.
Well, thank you very much for that update. That was actually nice to hear.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting project.
Mr. Carey, it's not usual for you to be at our meeting, so I want to take the opportunity of you being here to invite you to say anything if you like to, or not say anything if you prefer to, or... I mean, you're aware of the staff recommendation.
I am, yes, sir.
And so that's what we're considering.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Sites and Monuments Committee, Daniel Carey representing Historic Savannah Foundation. We're certainly supportive of the restoration of the Barron House, a building we've been involved in for almost two decades. And that involvement has led to us holding an easement on the property. So we have a legal right and responsibility to review any exterior modifications to the building. Friends and colleagues at the Georgia Historical Society, David Kelly and the owner, Andrew Barron Jones, we're all working closely together. But we do have some questions and some concerns, just to be frank, about the marker and its placement and so on. So if you'll indulge me, I'll outline those. And it's, of course, intended in a positive and respectful spirit. I want to underscore that. When we learned about this proposed marker, our first question was, I wonder why this is not a traditional freestanding marker that would appear or be placed in the tree lawn, in the right-of-way, that we would think is even more visible, a two-sided marker, so you can see it coming and going. And so that was question number one, why are we attaching this to the building? Although I know there is a recent precedent with the Gen Library and the Azalea Room marker that's recently been placed. But I'm really pleased about that. But I would say that wound up being something of a compromise and maybe not the ideal location because it's at the other end of the building in the Azalea Room, at the far end. So, but we understand, there are certain adjustments and modifications that need to be made. But our first question was, why not in the tree lawn? And preferably, why not in the tree lawn along Haversham Street? Because that's where the primary traffic for trolleys, for example, is. They stop at that light, they pause, they're talking about the Bearing House, they look at it, you can practically read the marker from your trolley right there. And there's a lot of pedestrian traffic north-south. There's actually not a tremendous amount of east-west pedestrian traffic on that part of Broughton Street. And so the suggested or recommended placement on the building along Broughton Street is not ideal in our view.
Number two.
Yeah, the text is a little troubling, and I've taken this up both with David and Mr. Jones. I sent Andrew Varian Jones an email earlier today. And it's just the last line, because we have a lot of respect for Stan Deaton, and so we're not questioning anything. It's just the last line where it says, Andrew Varian Jones, the descendant, began the restoration of the house in 2012. That is unfinished work. It's incomplete. It's sort of immaterial when it's begun. What's important is when it's finished. And so I guess our bottom line is it just seems premature that we're putting the marker up at all. We would advocate for putting it up when the building is restored. The exterior has been restored, but it's just a shell. And as David knows, they're working on this, and we would be thrilled to be part of and perhaps help underwrite the expense of the marker once the building is finished. And then it seems an appropriate time to put the marker up, and then we would again argue for putting it in the tree lawn as a traditional marker. Not unlike, for example, the, although it's in the square, but the 40 acres and a mule marker over in front of the Green Melbourne House. And we were over there today. In fact, I took a couple of pictures, so you have to just indulge that. I'll take these to staff. So that's just thank you. A representation. I think it's the correct dimensions of the marker. And we're mindful of tree roots and respectful of the tree canopy. This did not look like it would be problematic. And I do understand that this may involve additional review of the city. If it's going to be in the city right of way, and I could post.
Well, I'm anxious to see pictures, and I've got a response that I'm going to give you on the first point.
Yeah.
And, again, I just want to. I'm going to try to get the picture up in front of me so I can see it better.
Yeah.
Oh, there it goes. To your first point, was there a third point?
No, I think those are the three. Okay. That...
Let me say a couple things about your first point. In the library issue, we discussed it greatly about putting it in the city did not want us to put it on Broad Street.
And we know why.
And theoretically, there's going to come some up plan, it's going
right.
to decide. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so not to belabor that point any more than it's been belabored. The side thing came up, and is that the one that's paved all the way across? I think it's paved.
Yeah.
I don't
there's
think that's long.
No tree lawn on either Lincoln or Broad.
Yes, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was no lawn to put it in.
Right. Correct.
So then we went to the other side. We went into a bus stop.
Yep.
So you're right. It was months in the making, but it was months in the making, but it did end up on the side of the building, which was definitely a compromise at best.
Right.
Okay. But in your case, when the picture came up, I wondered the same thing, why we weren't putting it on in the tree line and why it was on the side of the building, because I would prefer them so you can see both sides of them. And I think it stands out better and you notice it more. So I really kind of agree, personally, agree with what you put forward there.
Yeah.
And I can't speak for anybody else.
Well, I think part of this, it truly is some respect for the marker itself, because the markers are, in many cases, once they're old enough, they become historic.
Right.
And they're part of the landscape, and they're attractive, and they stand out, but in a way that really draws people's attention in a positive way, gets them to stop and pause and read. And a plaque, especially of that size, on a building in what is a pretty tight space, is again, to us, a little questionable. You know, Mr. Jones has also applied and received a plaque from Historic Savannah Foundation, one of our traditional oval plaques that has the year, who it was built for, and so on. And you see these all around town, and I think that's the actual size.
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't been placed yet, but it has been ordered and received.
But those are put on the facade of the building, right?
They are, and they're on the primary facade, typically near the door, or where it's an obvious connection to talk about the building itself. So we do have this, and so what I was kind of proposing to Mr. Jones in an email was, well, would you be open to sort of putting the oval up there, which I realize is a completely different thing. It's sort of an apple and an orange, and I grant that, but this is sort of a temporary, if you will, even though it's going to be permanent. But meanwhile, we could figure out what to do with the marker and, again, finish the project. The big thing for us is, we don't give awards to things that are half finished. We only give awards to things that are completely unfinished. And this is sort of like a de facto award in my mind. You're saying this is single. So we're talking about when restoration began, although we could quibble with that and say, actually began in 1999 when we spent $40,000.
And I think that's a good point. Let me do one thing. So let's do one issue at a time.
Yep.
Okay. The staff, to the petitioner, he's raised the issue about placing it on a freestanding post in the side yard on Haversham Street. What is the petitioner's position on that?
As with the Savannah protest movement, we will always recommend placing a historical marker on a freestanding pole. However, in meeting with MPC staff prior to this this meeting, just to get their suggestions and their advice, you'll notice that there are street signs there, and that it would probably block the visibility of the stop sign and the street sign, as well as we'd also have to take care of the tree that is just off the picture. There's quite a large tree, so there's a lot of different things happening right there. If you prefer to be on a freestanding pole, that is fine.
Well, without having a man standing there permanently, if we were to determine that that would be preferable, would there be an objection?
No, not at all. As I said, we always prefer a freestanding pole.
All right, now we've taken care of one of the two issues.
Right.
Okay. The second issue is about placing the marker at the completion of the project.
Yeah. So the historical marker was applied for. We work on these. Once they're approved, we get them up within 6 months to a year typically. This is not considered an award. It's more of a narrative, a historical telling of the building, the site, the place, whatever happened. It's not so much about the historic preservation aspect, while we appreciate it. It's more of a historic narrative about the Berrien family and their impact on Savannah. So the actual historical preservation aspect, while we greatly admire the work that David Kelly is doing and Andrew Jones is working on the building, we really appreciate it. It's not so much that story. It's more about the Berrien family itself. So we would prefer to get it up.
Can we put the language back up on the screen, please, Sarah? Thank you.
Then you don't need the last sentence.
Right. We could definitely, the last sentence, yeah. We could definitely change that. Mr. Jones has mentioned that he does not need to be thanked on the marker, and that was not the intention. It was just to let people know that the history in this house is still continuing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's the family's name is continuing with,
right.
Which I think is an important thing to say. It would not be a difficult thing just to say that Andrew Jones' descendant is responsible for the restoration of the building or whatever.
Right.
I think that that's a legitimate thing. That 2012 jumps off the page at me because,
yeah.
I mean, suppose it's not finished and somebody comes here 5 years from now and it's still not finished. For whatever reason, I'm sure you're going to get it done.
Certainly.
But, I mean, it does raise the question. So 2012 right. means is a bad number.
We can definitely take, we're open to suggestions. We can change that last sentence. If that is something that is, you know, delaying the process and erecting this historical marker, we are certainly happy to remove that sentence.
Hey, other members of the board have questions or are we?
I was going to ask a question.
No, yes.
I mean, is there any problems with holding back? I mean, I know you said you wanted to get it up within 6 months to a year, but I mean,
right.
is there any reason for
with that? The Georgia Historical Marker Program, it's not focused just in Savannah.
Right.
It's throughout the state. So we have over 2,000 historical markers,
right.
which I get to manage all of them, which is wonderful. It's a rewarding job. But in order to maintain the rest of the state's markers, we have to stick with a pretty, efficient timeline to make sure that we address everything.
Would that mess up the schedule if you just delayed this?
Correct, yes, because what we do is we approve a certain amount per year.
I see.
So this was in the last cycle, which needs to be finished in the coming year.
Can I ask another
sure.
question? So what is the, just so I understand,
of course.
I know that every historical marker isn't done by the Historical Society, so is there a specific amount that you guys approve?
Per year? It really depends. We receive our funding from the General Assembly,
okay.
so it really depends on the amount of funding that we receive.
Daniel, go ahead.
So you're saying that you have or intend to put up other markers before the work is finished on other buildings?
Yes.
Hope they get finished?
No, because what we do not tell the historic preservation story typically. We are telling the story of a site.
Okay.
So it's more of a narrative. It's not so much focused on the historic preservation aspect, while it's certainly part of this building's history.
Well, you have markers where there is nothing
exactly.
at all. So, Ryan, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I was wondering if the technical advisory committee responded, and that's why they decided it wouldn't fit in the tree line.
That was just a suggestion while we were standing out there speaking about it. It was there was no formal discussion.
Okay.
Technical staff, is there a precedent for placing a marker like this on the building as opposed to? I mean, how often are there markers like this on the building as opposed to in the tree line?
The Site and Monument Commission approved a marker last year on the Gin Library that
that's the only one.
And it's a complication due to its location. Broughton Street's a complicated street, and we have in the past we've discouraged, you know, freestanding marker poles on Broughton Street because of it, how busy it is, both with pedestrians, automobiles, etc. So we came up with the concept of putting it on the building with the previous one. And personally, I think it's been very successful in that regard. So there is that precedent.
But if this was anywhere outside of Broughton, it would most likely have been on a pole.
If there was an appropriate spot for it, yes, it would have been on a pole.
Brian?
Yeah, speaking to the one at the Gin Library, the Azalea Room, I believe we asked that it be made double-sided. So that may not be the last permanent location of it. If they decide with the Broughton Streetscape renewal that there is a possibility to insert things in the tree.
It's not permanently. I mean, it's done in a way that it can be removed
off the building
and placed in an otherwise disposition. Otherwise, it would just going to be flat against the wall.
Correct.
Nick?
Will this one be double-sided?
This one, yes.
If it were freestanding?
All of our historical markers are double-sided.
I'm just going to say that I agree with Mr. Carey. We should take off the reference to 2012, but we should keep the reference to Mr. Jones, and that we should be freestanding. I don't have an objection for two. Is that possible?
No. Well, Daniel, you came here wanting two things. You got one and a half.
So you know, we want to be part of the solution. Again, even if it were delayed, and I do appreciate wanting to stay on schedule, I think we recognize if we were going to be part of the problem for delaying it, if you will, we would want to be part of the solution for paying for it. So we wouldn't want to wreck the Georgia Historical Society's marker budget, and that we could help towards this.
You would help if we made it in the street in the lawn and took the 2012 and reframed that wording.
Yeah, and again, I want to be really careful because we're all in agreement that Mr. Jones needs to be recognized. That legacy, that narrative is really important that he be included. That's the tricky part for us was just the 2012, and then you know we were going to say or the began. You know, because we could say, and I'm not being flippant, but I mean, you know, you could say began the restoration in 2012, and it continues. I mean, because it will, for at least two more years, it'll go on, but then, you know, you've got another problem. No. Just another mistake that we made, and it was an unwitting mistake, when we issued the oval plaque, we said, home of John, Major John Berrien and U.S. Senator John McPherson Berrien, 1791. Restored, past tense, in 2015 by Andrew Berrien Jones. Well, we all thought it was going to be restored, and so at the best of intentions, we did that and then produced it. Well, it's not restored.
Well, you know what? That would it would you probably know. Got some value. You could sell it on eBay because it's the wrong date.
Yeah. So we don't want with an even larger marker to perpetuate the same mistake, basically only in reverse.
You know? All right. Well, I'd recommend is that we entertain a motion to allow a marker, a double-sided marker, be placed in the lawn. On Haversham Street, that the language be that we need the size of the text as the staff recommended, and that the language be redrafted to exclude the date of 2012, and with a suggestion, and we'd like. Just with a changed text, okay? Does that make sense to anybody? Can I have somebody make that motion?
I still move.
Okay, I got a motion and I got Nick on the second. All right. Any more discussion on it? Well, here's what I'd like
may I have a suggestion? And that the Historic Savannah Foundation pay for it.
Well. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave two things to the Historic Savannah and to Georgia Historical Society, and that is, one, deciding what the language is going to be. We'd like to have both of the parties agree to the language, okay? And the second thing is we'd like to see a payment plan that would be inclusive of a generous contribution from the Historic Savannah Foundation, notwithstanding it doesn't have to be the whole thing. Is that reasonable? Okay, so that's all part of the motion. So move, got a move in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those nay. So okay. Daniel, you do good work, son. You need to come over here more often to see us. I think it's going to be great. And I think the building has been fascinating to go by there.
Yes, if you anybody wants a tour, come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm coming.
Is there, we're going to be invited to whatever, when your oval goes up or when the mark goes up, one of the other.
Excellent. I have to listen to the tour buses outside the window every day because I'm up in the ballroom. Yeah. And of course, they're always talking about Leopold's ice cream as they come around the corner. I'm like, George Washington and John Berrien were buddies, and I think there would be something. So this sign will be part of that.
I think you're right.
Telling them something. Not that I don't like Leopold.
But change the dialogue. Okay. We have any items brought up by the commissioners? Okay. Our next meeting is scheduled for March the 2nd. There's no further business. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.